Welcome to the Anything Goes podcast. My name is Anna Richards, and this is my sacred space to have honest, real, empowering, fun, and big conversations. My mission is to not just motivate and inspire with each episode, but to push boundaries and teach you how to live your own life sovereignly, boldly, and unapologetically. I aim to bring you humor, depth, differing of opinions, and more. But one thing I can promise you is this is the podcast where anything goes. Hello, loves. And welcome back to another episode of Anything Goes with Anna Rose. And I giggle because I'm so acutely aware of how far and few these episodes have been for the last, I actually don't even know, probably 18 months, probably since my separation with Morgan, my ex, who is on all the prior episodes, which I'll never delete because that was a big, huge, beautiful part of my life. However, I am very called to sit tonight, it is this evening, and record this episode and see where it takes me. As we always know, I'm very off the cuff, there's no notes. I speak from the heart, and what will be, will be. But tonight and this episode is completely dedicated to the censorship that I have been under, essentially, for the last 12 months that was lifted today. Brum, 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 sound the obnoxious horns. So it is the 18th of November, I believe. Let me check the date. It is the 18th of November, 2022. Gather around, boys and girls. We're around a campfire. The date is 18th of November, 2022, the year. No, so it's November, and for 12 months, I have been completely censored via Instagram. So as many of you know, maybe not all, and hey, if you're a new listener, phenomenal, welcome, amazing. But 12 months ago to the day, because I'm lifted, it was 12 months ago, 3 days ago, because I had had my new account for 3 days, and then the ban began, having done nothing wrong. So the 12 months ago, as like I said, many of you knew, I got deplatformed. So I had spent over a decade building my brand and my account. And I, as many of you know, if not all, if you're listening to this, fuck, you're in for a shock if you have stumbled upon me and this podcast and you don't know my history. Welcome to the fun. You may love me or hate me. The good thing is I don't care either way. So if you don't know, but many of you do, for two long years, I spoke up during what is, we absolutely now know, was the scandemic. And yeah, it was the scandemic. You were very abhorrently lied to by all of the global governments. It's been proven unequivocally again and again now that that is what happened. And many of us knew because we were reading the inserts and sharing that. And those of us that were and questioning the media and asking the bigger questions, like myself, that's what I did, got shadow banned, silenced, blocked, deleted, hated on, criticized. And then for myself, I got deplatformed, which was so wild at the time because, and you know, I still shake my head at it now. And I'm always curious because I was definitely a big voice, definitely in that whole era. However, I was certainly not the biggest. I was certainly not the loudest. I was certainly not the spiciest by any means. But I was the one that got deplatformed out of everyone. And I've got theories around that. I honestly believe like some wild theories. Like I am like, I've never accepted a dollar from the government. So I'm like, you know, is it the fact that they really do fear me because it's like they can't take a payment. They can't fucking do anything, but they can silence me, right? They can take away platforms and stop me from getting to you and stop me educating you or having you question things that you should be questioning. Anyway, I digress. I was deplatformed. Now, that's fine. I copped that. That's okay. That's all right. Take my platform. Cool. I moved on. I was at the beach at the time. I think I've shared this story on an episode, but I've shared fuck all on here. So here we go. So I was at the beach with Trent and I went to log in and I couldn't. It was just like, you have, I can't even remember. It was just like a thing popped up and it's like, you're gone. Basically, you have been deleted. If you would like to review it, click here. And I just turned to Trent and I was like, fuck. I think they've just deleted my account. And he was like, they can't have. What do you mean? Like deleted like your app? And I'm like, no, I think they've deleted my account. Anyway, Trent tried to find me. He couldn't find me. And I was like, holy shit, I have been deplatformed. Now, I need you to know at this point in time, I only had on that account in 10 fucking years and 2 years at that point of speaking up. Oh, I think it was like 18 months, 20 months it was. It was 20 months. 20 months of speaking up, I had one community violation in that whole 10 years, including 20 months of vehemently speaking up against the government and asking questions to the media. And one community violation. So it's still a joke to me. And within that time frame, obviously, I had been, you couldn't tag me, you couldn't mention me. And I was like, that's cool. I don't need that. I just don't take my account kind of thing. So one community violation in 10 plus years of building that account, one community violation. So understand that. I just want you to know that, because if you follow me and you followed me during that time period, you know that I spoke up all day, every day, 7 days a week for 20 long months and only ever had one community violation. And that community violation was bullshit because they slapped an incorrect violation on a live that I did about a particular boy who, this is well documented, whose family had come to me. He had had the vaccination. Oh, fuck, I love him. I forget that I'm so well, they can still take my podcast, right? They can take anything, but I forget it's not Instagram or Facebook. I just panicked that I said that word. Isn't that pathetic? Anyway, a beautiful family had come to me and their son was one of the ones who had been taken into the stadium. You may remember, you may not. They were vaccinating kids, like mass vaccinating kids in stadiums. Parents weren't allowed in. And this one particular mother had, her son had gone in. She was waiting outside in the car and he had collapsed at the time, was taken away in an ambulance, got admitted to the hospital, and she was never told. So she's still waiting for her son in the car. I think like an hour. It was an Instagram live that got taken down. So I can't even remember. But an hour, I'm being very minimal in saying this. It was longer than that, but let's say an hour had passed and she wasn't notified. And then someone from the hospital had finally called her because her child was on life support essentially. And they called her and they were like, where are you? Your son's here. And they went in. Now, that was the story. That was the live that I did with full permission. They actually had come to me because they were like, please share our story. We're fucking ropeable. They've tied our hands. The health minister has called us. We're not allowed to speak out, but this is our story. Get it out. I've got emails. I've got everything, right? But I've protected them. I'll always protect them. So that was the Instagram live that I did. It was about that. Now, Instagram at the time marked that as, you've told a story about a boy that died. No, I didn't. And his name was, I can't even remember, like said his name. And I don't say it because that was not the story that it was about. So I just don't even go there. And that's a community violation. I was like, cool, but fucking awkward, because that's not at all the story that I just told. And that has nothing to do with the fucking story I just told. So it was an incorrect community violation. It was a complete lie. And this is what's so fucked about the media and that time period, and why I was so like going after the media relentlessly, is our entire Australian media, from Lad Bible to Daily Mail to Nine News to the West Australian to you name it, they wrote it up. Sydney Herald, Gold Coast Influencer, like, lies about this boy who at the time had died and said it was from the vaccination. Never did those words ever come out of my mouth. Not close to it, not fucking likened to it, nothing. I told the story about a beautiful boy whose family had come to me about having the vaccination, collapsed, got taken to the hospital. His parents weren't informed. They were fucking ropeable. That was a story that I told. Anyway, and so that was kind of in my, that was the community violation, just so you all know. So it was wrong as well, is my point. And it's just funny that I remember saying, oh my God, when I was reading all the stories about myself, I was like, dear Lord, this is our state of media, that if they had have watched the video for, I don't know, 90 seconds, they would have known, oh, she didn't, this isn't to do with that at all. We can't report that because it's a blatant fucking lie. But they didn't. And that just further, imagine, fueled my fire, because I was like, they're lying. Like they're lying to you. I was like, I cannot make this more clear. Like they've literally just taken me, myself, and made a story and said I said something that's recorded online, so you could have fact checked it in. Well, you couldn't, because then Instagram fucking removed it, but you could have fact checked it and shown yourself that it was a lie. So it's just so wild. So that happened, got deplatformed. Now again, copped that. That's fine. But I started again, right? I started again, and you can start again. You're allowed to start again, and you're not banned and you're not blocked. So obviously if you get your account back, which I didn't, there are restrictions on that account and so on and so forth. If you start again, you're starting from zero. You're starting from scratch. And if you cross your T's and dot your I's and you're a good little girl and you sit in the corner and you shut the fuck up, that's, you are good. And that is what I did. I crossed my T's, I dotted my I's, I shut the fuck up, and I sat in my little corner, because being deplatformed in itself is hard and shit when you've had spent 10 years building content, spent 10 years building an audience, spent 10 years building a brand, and they take it from you overnight. But again, I copped that, all good, started again, and within 3 days, they censored me. So within 3 days, I started to get a tirade of messages going, oh my God, Anna, because you could tag me for 3 days. You could mention me. You could share my stuff. You could find me, all the things, right? And then 3 days later, I woke up and I had a barrage of DMs, and it was like, oh my God, I can't tag you. What the fuck? It's happening again. And literally from that day henceforth, it transpired. It got worse and worse and worse. I just got more and more. I mean, I was from day 3 of my shadow ban until today, so 12 months later to the day, you could never tag me. You couldn't mention me. You couldn't put a comment form like to me. You couldn't find me. So if you put Anna Richards or Anna Rose, typically like when you have a big account like mine and you have a lot of followers, you put ANN and like the top kind of accounts pop up. You guys all know this. You literally had to put my entire Instagram handle perfect. So exactly as you were meant to find it, which if you didn't know, how do you know? And even then it wouldn't come up. You had to actually hit search, tricky, sneaky little buggers. And then I would come up. Now I got to the point though, where you would do that, and for 80% of people, I still wouldn't come up. And this happened actually to Morgs. He messaged me and was like, yo, you were like the hardest woman to find on Instagram. And I was like, surprised, here I am. And what people had to do is go through other accounts. If you knew of me and you kind of knew who I hung out with, what people were doing was going through other people's accounts and who they followed to find me, or going back through DMs to find me. Like it was just, it's been wild. And then literally just before, right, what did they say? The breakdown before the breakthrough, the last couple of months, but more so the last couple of weeks, it got to the point where I honestly started to think, what's the point? Like, do I just even get off Instagram? Like, do I just stick to my email list? And I hate Facebook, so it was never going to be there. And go have some fun on Twitter and just go be a ratbag on Twitter. Like, what do I do? Because it got to the point where every single day, like my hardcore diehard friends, I never will say followers, would message me multiple times, you know, multiple messages a day saying, holy shit, Anna, like you're literally unfindable now. Like, or they're like, holy shit, like, I know you've got stories, or have you done stories this week? And I'm like, yeah, I've been posting every day. And they're like, holy shit, Instagram isn't sharing your stories to me. So I would be doing stories, but they were just hidden, not just hidden, but literally taken off, essentially. So they were still there for me, but people just couldn't access them. So it got so ridiculous. I got so ridiculously censored and blocked and hidden that, like, even the last couple of weeks, I was like, what's the point? Like, do I just, I don't know, like, what do I do? But a resilient old mate here just thought, I'm just going to keep showing up until, you know, maybe one day, fuck it. Maybe one day they will unblock me. Maybe one day I will get uncensored. And today, ladies and gentlemen, is that day. Now, I remember reading an article a couple of months ago now, and I burst into tears. It was very cathartic. And I remember thinking, I have to share this somehow. One day I'm going to share this, and I don't know when, and I don't know how, and I don't know the context of it, but one day I know I'm going to share it. And tonight, as I was sitting here reminiscing on my last year, actually, to be honest, reminiscing on my last 2 years, but really specifically my last year for sure, I was like, oh my God, I thought of this article. And I was like, tonight is the night. This is the episode about censorship and bullshit and COVID and just everything that has happened. Tonight is the night that I'm going to read it on the podcast. So if you will allow me, I wanted to give it my voice because I am really proud of the woman that I was in that period. And I am really proud of the relentless consistency I took in taking the fight to the government and questioning the media. And I'm relentlessly proud of the fact that, you know, even sharing how to get the vaccine exemption legally saved tens of thousands of Australians from having to get it to lose their job or lose, like, whatever, like be able to travel and go into aged care and things like that. I'm so proud of that. I really am. So when I read this from Susan Dunham, I don't know who she, I don't think she's ever been found. Like, go have at it, message me on Instagram if she has, but it did go pretty viral from what I understand. But Susan Dunham had written this, and I just thought it was the most cathartic, brilliant, beautiful, healing piece of literature. Essentially, I had heard in this whole BS. So allow me to read it now to surmise the last year for me, especially being so heavily censored, purely for holding my ground, for asking questions, and for bringing the other side to the public, which you so deserved. So if COVID were a battlefield, it would still be warm with the bodies of the unvaccinated. Thankfully, the mandates are letting up, and both sides of the war stumble back to the new normal. The unvaccinated are the heroes of the last 2 years, as they allowed us all to have a control group in the great experiment and highlight the shortcoming of the COVID vaccines. The unvaccinated carry many battle scars and injuries, as they are the people we tried to mentally break. Yet no one wants to talk about what we did to them and what they forced the science to unveil. We knew that the waning immunity of the fully vaccinated had the same risk profile as others within society, as the minority of the unvaccinated, yet we marked them for special persecution. We said they had not done the right thing for the greater good by handing their bodies and medical autonomy over to the state. Many of the so-called health experts and political leaders admitted the goal was to make life almost unlivable for the unvaccinated, which was multiplied many times by the collective mob, with the fight taken into workplaces, friendships, and family gatherings. Today, the hard truth is none of it was justified, as we took a quick slide from righteousness to absolute cruelty. And I do get emotional because this is me now. because, yeah, I'll get into it, but allow Susan to continue. We might blame our leaders and health experts for the push, but each individual within society must be held accountable for stepping into the well-laid-out trap. We did this despite knowing full well that principled opposition is priceless when it comes to what goes inside our bodies. And we let ourselves be tricked into believing that going into another ineffective lockdown would be the fault of the unvaccinated and not the fault of the toxic policy of ineffective vaccines. We took pleasure in scapegoating the unvaccinated because after months of engineered lockdowns by political leaders blinded by power, having someone to blame and to burn at the stake felt good. We believed we had logic, love and truth on our side, so it was easy to wish death upon the unvaccinated. Those of us who ridiculed and mocked the non-compliant did it because we were embarrassed by their courage and principles and didn't think the unvaccinated would make it through unbroken, and we turned the holdouts into punching bags. Fauci, Biden, Gonzalez, unvaccinated Spittle Camillo, and the other cast in prominent roles need to be held to account for vilifying the unvaccinated in public and fueling angry social media mobs. The mobs, the masked Nazis, and the vaccine disciples have been embarrassed by betting against the unvaccinated because mandates only had the power we gave them. It was not compliance that ended domination by big pharma companies. Bill Gates and his many organizations and the World Economic Forum. It was thanks to the people we tried to embarrass, ridicule, mock, and tear down. We should all try and find some inner gratitude for the unvaccinated, as we took the bait by hating them because their perseverance and courage bought us the time to see we were wrong. So if mandates ever return for COVID or any other disease or virus, hopefully more of us will be awake and see the rising authoritarianism that has no concern for our well-being and is more about power and control. The war on the unvaccinated was lost, and we should all be very thankful for that. Thank you, Susan. I remember when I read that for the first time, I burst into tears. I just felt so very seen and held for the first time in 2 years because she was vaccinated. Like the story is obviously written, or the article's written from her, from a vaccinated sense. And I just remember saying relentlessly for 2 years with love and grace, I hope I'm wrong. I don't want to be right. I don't want to be the woman in the experiment, the control group of this fucking ridiculous experiment that is right. Because the alternative of being right is so unfathomable that I didn't even want to think about it. And so all I did for 2 years, 7 days a week, was ask questions and share information and share science on quote unquote the other side, that the scientists that were putting this out, who were wildly fucking respected and that were getting denounced and shut down, and you know, all of the WHO and things were quick to take away their titles and no, they're conspiracy theorists. No, mate, they're some of the most fucking respected scientists in the world in their arena. They're not conspiracy theorists. They're scientists that know what the fuck they're talking about. I'm allowed to listen to what they have to say. And you're all the ones that should be held accountable. So the fact that those of us who chose against vilification, hate, death threats, put downs, lockouts, you know, we were literally not allowed. We were the cancer of society. We weren't allowed anywhere. We were locked from, like many of you lost your jobs. We weren't allowed in movie theaters, cafes, like family Christmases. I know so many people message me and they're like, I can't even go to Christmas this year because I'm choosing to just not put this in my body. We were the control group that didn't want to be right. And like for anyone, I'll speak for myself because I shouldn't speak for everyone. I was part of the control group that didn't put it in my body because I just wasn't sure. And it was safe and okay to make that decision. And I was allowed to choose that sovereignty for my body. I am always fucking allowed to choose that sovereignty for my body. And nobody can call me any names. No one had the right to call, like, no one has the right, not even the fucking government has the right to tell me what I must put in my body, or I will lose my job, my place in society, my everything. And when that started to happen, I got to tell you, having held the line for so long and questioned for so long, when it got to that point, that was the biggest red flag for me. That was literally, if I hadn't have made my mind up and I was kind of on the fence, the fact that they were literally, they mandated, well, not essentially, the fact that they mandated, that was the numero uno. Like, I was just like, red flag. This is the greatest red flag I've ever seen in my life. When we live in a democracy, a free world, essentially, allegedly, and our nation, I speak for Australia here now, is mandating this. Like, there's something very fucking wrong with this. And there was, and that's been proven again and again and again. When, you know, we've all seen the viral video now, the woman at the European Union Parliament Senate hearing, essentially laughing. No, of course, no, we didn't test for transmission effect, like efficiency. Of course not. We had to be quick, guys. Like, of course we weren't going to test the most important thing that got jammed down the world's throats. So that's just one example. There's a million more, and we can do more podcasts about that. But I just wanted to say that for me to have not wanted to be right ever and consistently said that and shown up online and said, guys, I hope the fuck I'm wrong. I don't want to be. I remember sharing about, please, if you're pregnant, please, please, please don't put this in your body. Just think about it. Just, here's the insert. I shared the insert and I got fucking vilified. I have probably had the most hate I've received at that particular time around that. Like, who do you think you are? And I'm like, I'm Anna Rose that's just sharing the pharmaceutical company's own insert that says, you know, probably don't, you know, not safe. And at the time it wasn't clear. Like, it was very, take it, but you shouldn't, but you can, but maybe don't in the insert. But I was like, the fact that they're saying for some, yes, for others, no, is a problem. And then it's come out in the science, in the pharmaceutical company's own testing, when they did test, oh, disgustingly, on the pregnant women, the miscarriages and babies that did pass and the pregnancies essentially that weren't carried to full term, it's abhorrent. And then they said in their own paper, it is not safe or effective for pregnant women. And then the governments came out and were like, go for it. Ladies, line up. Your doctors, your own doctors were like vilifying you in their surgeries if you were pregnant and you didn't get it. And it's just, for me to have not wanted to be right, and this is why I've been so silent, you guys. I've said this on my Instagram so many times. People are like, oh, you kind of stopped. First of all, I was never a reporter on fucking, I'm not the reporter on world events. I'm a life enthusiast that just had a very big opinion and a very big gut feeling on this. But second of all, and I've said it so many times, having not wanted to be right, having been proven so right, it's gross. Like, it's sad. It's heartbreaking. It's shit. Like, I'm not the account that ever wants to sit there and go, see, I told you, because guess what? I'd be doing it every fucking day with multiple papers and multiple articles and multiple government-owned admissions and pharmaceutical companies' own admissions. And that's toxic for you. It's not necessary, in my opinion. So I think the biggest thing for me, though, and that's why I wanted to do this episode to say I'm back. I'm uncensored on Instagram, which is so big for me. And also read out that article that just was so cathartic and healing for me at the time reading it, but so perfect and fitting for this particular episode. Because I was censored. I was deplatformed and I was right. And I was then censored for 12 fucking months and I was right. So it's so wrong. It is so wrong what they did. It is so abhorrent what they did. It is so deplorable what they did, but you can't keep a good bitch down. And that is what I love the most. I'm just like, I said, when I got deplatformed, I will be back and I will be back stronger. You cannot keep me down. Haters, media, government, if I've pissed you off already, stay tuned because fuck you, you can't keep me down. And I came back. Then they censored me and they blocked me and they banned me. Guess what I did? I launched a fucking online company, an NFT, and it's and it's having phenomenal success. Of course it is, because you can't keep the truth down. You can't keep a woman steeped in good intention and love and hope down. So the biggest lesson, the main lesson that I want you to take from this, number one, there's a few. Number one, let's get into some lessons. Never, ever, ever again, let us commit here and now, stake in the ground, line in the sand, taking you to church. Let us confess and profess that we will never allow what occurred to occur ever the fuck again. You will never allow a government to lie to you. You will never allow the media to perpetrate that lie. You will never, ever back down essentially to mandates that the government demands you put something in your body that they were lying about, when so many of us were saying, hey, hang on, just hold up. We don't know. We don't know. I was definitely saying, I'm not sure, but the fact that I'm not sure is enough for me to not take it. When there's certainty, give it to me for sure. That's fine. If there's certainty, absolutely. So let us profess and line in the sand, stake in the ground, that never will we ever allow what has happened to happen again. Let that be the beautiful silver lining and takeaway and lesson from the last 2 years, number one. Number two, please know the truth will always prevail. The truth will always prevail. And I say that with such a big grin on my face because I'm like, I trusted that so deeply. I believe in that with my whole soul. I always assume positive intent. That's just the way that I live. And people asked, they were like, how are you showing up still 12 months in, 15 months in, 18 months in, 2 years in? And I was like, because I believe, if you spoke to me over that time, I would have said this to you. I believe the truth will come out, because the truth will always come out. So please know that you get to believe in yourself and hold your sovereignty and choose in your highest good, even when it's scary and even when a government and the media are trying to perpetrate a lie. Just know the truth will always come out in the end. And when you're making choices for yourself and you're following your gut and you're trusting your intuition, you're never going to be wrong. Because the thing is, say I was wrong. This is the thing. None of us that didn't take it fucking regret not taking it. I'm going to say that again. None of us that didn't take it, we don't regret not taking it. Most people that took it regret taking it. You can't take that back now. And that's what's heartbreaking to me. For me, not taking it until I was certain, I could have then taken it and I would have been like, cool, okay, I've done it. Awesome. Certainty's there. Brilliant. No bueno. Awesome. Jab me up. And that would have been fine. But I couldn't undo, I'm going to speak for myself, I couldn't have undone it if I wasn't sure, felt weird about it and took it. I can't undo that. So please know that truth will always prevail and you get to choose in your highest good and trust your gut always and never, ever, 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 ever back down on that. And number three, always speak your truth, no matter the consequences, because look at me now. I'm back. It is November the 18th. It may have taken almost 3 fucking years, but I'm back. And I'm allowed to swear. I've sworn a lot on this podcast, but You guys, I get to. I have been vilified, hated on, pursued by the media. I'm still hunted on forums. I am all of the things. I have been deplatformed, censored. My voice has been taken away. And still I rose. Still I rose. Still I had monumental and record-breaking weeks for self-love school when I was doing that. I got deplatformed, just so you all know, I got deplatformed in a launch of self-love school. So I was mid-launch of my business and the account got taken away. That's business ending for some people. I mean, having your account taken away is business ending for some people, but on I kicked. I just was like, all good. It's not going to stop me. Fuck you. You can't stop me. And on I kicked. And then less than, so that was November, February, I launched the last intake of self-love school, because then I went into, obviously I went all in with the NFT, the Awakened Woman. And I did a record week. I had like 260, I think, women, 250 women join that week for self-love school. And I'd had my new account for 2 months. So please always know, take that as a, and then obviously then I've been censored this whole time, untaggable, unfindable, unmentionable. Just, you couldn't, which matters. Like if until you've been in it, you don't understand. Until you have been censored to the level that I have been censored, you cannot understand how fucked it is, to be honest. How, it's not debilitating, but when your business is online and you can't be tagged, you can't be mentioned, people can't comment to you, like people can't share your stuff, they can't get your brand out there, they can't reshare your stuff, they can't. That matters. That so matters. And that's been me for 12 months. And then, as we all know, if you follow me, within that 12 months, I did go all in regardless on The Awakened Woman and have launched that. And I've got podcasts coming on that. They're already recorded, but I've got to get them up. This will absolutely go up first though. So, and that's done. That is done unbelievably well. And it will continue to do. It will sell out. It is inevitable. It will be a legacy collection. It's going to be phenomenal. Coming from a woman that was deplatformed, censored, silenced, vilified, hated on, you name it, I've had it. So please know that you still get to show up no matter what, no matter who tries to stop you, no matter who hates on you, no matter who criticizes you, no matter who tries to pull you down, silence you, berate you, hate on you, vilify you, deplatform you, block you. You get to show up and you get to not just survive, but thrive, girlfriend. You get to thrive. And the beautiful thing is, it was so poetic because I didn't have the memory on Instagram. I popped up on Facebook because I had my account taken away. But the year ago to the day of me being deplatformed had popped up on Instagram, on Facebook, and I shared it on Instagram just the other day. And I'd said in my last thing, I just was like, oh my gosh, like media haters, enough, like stop being obsessed, because I have so much more to give you. Like I have so much more success coming. I have so much more to say, like just watch. And I've done it and I'm doing it. And now poetically and beautifully and brilliantly, I'm unblocked, I'm uncensored, and I'm back. And I do definitely think where I do think it has affected me without really noticing is when you are censored, I suppose, and this is all in hindsight, because the second this happened, like this happened today, I wanted to jump on here and record a podcast. I was like, oh my God, I have so much to say now. Like I have even more to say. I want to jump on here and I want to record a podcast. So without realizing, it does affect you more than you realize, if that makes sense. And for me, jumping on, I don't know if you just heard Zeus's snort. For me, I'm so excited because I do feel like I have censored my own self, which is wrong. No stress. What a lesson for my own self. But I do definitely feel like I have been censoring my own self, and I'm really ready to show up in a bigger, better, brighter, bolder way. And that definitely includes the podcast. So I'm definitely the podcast that you probably can't listen to around the kids because I do occasionally throw the F-bomb in, which I just, maybe I'll stop, maybe I won't. Who knows what season and spice of life Anna is in. But yeah, I hope that, I don't know. I don't even know what I hope. I just hope that if anything, no, I know what I hope. I hope that if you follow me on any platform, be it the podcast or Instagram or Facebook, it's all the same, that in some way, shape or form, through who I am and the way that I do show up and the way that I can't be stopped no matter what, and I show up in the hurt and I show up in the hate and I show up in the criticism and I show up when I'm censored and I show up when I'm, whenever I just show up, that I hope in the showing up, it inspires and evokes something in your own life to live a more beautiful life, whatever that is for you, in the way that I live mine. So if I'm like, if it's moving like I love myself, or if it's that mindset every morning, it is a beautiful day to have a beautiful day because it is a beautiful day to have a beautiful day. Or if it's the joy that I have, or if it's the fun, or the, like I was going to say the drinking, but it's true, you know, the living life at both ends and the yes in both, whatever it is, I just hope that it inspires you in some way. That's why I show the fuck up. That's why I'm here. That's why tonight I actually was like, it's Friday evening. It's almost 8 p.m. at night. And I actually was like, oh, I'm just going to cook a yummy pasta and actually watch some Netflix tonight. And then I was like, not before you sit for everyone else and you record this podcast. So I really do love you guys so much. If I've never met you, I still love you. If you are new here, I still love you. I really appreciate you being a part of my world. And like I said, she's back, baby. She is back. I'm uncensored. I'm unblocked. And it just feels so liberating and exciting. And it's lifted an energetic bond or bind on me. And I immediately wanted to get back on the podcast as well. So excited. I've got a lot to say all of the time, and I can't wait to just keep hanging out with you in this space. So loving you. Have the most beautiful day if you're listening to this in the morning. I hope you have a stunning evening if you're listening to this overnight, and I will see you on the next episode of Anything Goes. Thanks so much for tuning in. And as always, I truly hope you got something out of this episode that you can use to challenge your own status quo. If you liked what you heard, it would mean so much to me if you shared this episode on your socials to help get this podcast more out in the world. Don't forget either to tag me personally at @AnnaRose_Richards so I can thank you personally. If you're also loving the conversations, leaving a review on iTunes by going to the podcast, scrolling down and clicking leave review will help even more amazing humans that need to find me, find me. As always, I am eternally grateful that you're tuning in. And until the next episode, know that I am always cheering on your sovereignty and success. Thank you.